Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are live again for another week of Turning Towards Life. You are so welcome to be here. And Lizzie, I'm feeling particularly grateful that you and I are together this week, because we didn't know if this would happen, given the imminent arrival of a new tiny person in your life. We've been hedging our bets as to which weeks we would need to pull out of the bag the two actually very wonderful conversations that we've already recorded, which I'm actually very excited about them coming out as well into the world. But we're live this morning, so it's really lovely to see you, Lizzie, and welcome to all of you who are with us in the many, many circles of participation that there are. Some of you are live with us in our Facebook group, which is the most immediate way to join us on a Sunday morning UK time every week. And then many of you are listening on podcasts or on YouTube or on Instagram, maybe on this Sunday, the 26th of November, 2023, but maybe at who knows what time and date in the future, in the fabulous way that time shifts with this. So we're very grateful that you're all with us, and it's such a huge part of what makes it possible for us to do this. Lizzie, I know, is that we're in conversation with one another and we're in conversation with the wider world. And it feels important to say this week, for some reason, Lizzie, this week, that this conversation got born also out of a wish of ours to bring the kinds of concerns and interest and depth of conversation that happens in Third Space, in the coaching programs that we run, and the various other opportunities to make community and to learn and to develop together. And we sat down however many years ago it is now, more than six, and said, wouldn't it be fabulous if we could make these kind of conversations more widely available and of use to people of value? So I want to say that this morning before we launch into this wonderful source by Paul Winefield that you've brought us to begin this week, Lizzie, to say to you and I, and to say to everyone, this is a way of experiencing what Third Space is committed to, as well as what Lizzie and Justin are committed to. And if that is at all inviting to you, you're very welcome to come and find us at wearethirdspace.org and see all the things that we're up to that are available in the public world, and just to be in contact with us as well if you've got any questions. So you can email us at hello@turningtowards.life, and you can find all the conversations at our turningtowards.life website and ways to support us there too. And then We Are Third Space, if you want to find out the background from which this got born. And now I'm done saying hello, and I'm saying hello to you, Lizzie. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Justin, for that lovely little opening. Welcome, everyone. It's really excellent to be here. And I can feel every time we step in, Justin, I can feel the beautiful kind of sanity that falls over me as we sit down and wander into this together. There's a field here, it feels to me like. It really supports me every week to have the conversations that I'm yearning to have with you and with everybody else, and these, and even the finding of the sources is such a cool thing. And whatever I'm doing, I've always got my eye out for what could be useful for Turning Towards Life and what would be helpful to the conversation. And I love that orientation to anything I'm reading, anything I'm looking at. So I'm really grateful for that. And it leads me to find new books. Like if you're watching on the video, I'm holding up a book at the moment called The Magpie Art, Gathering the Brightness of Every Day by Paul Winefield. And I don't even know how I came across Paul Winefield, genuinely no idea. And yet it's led me to find his book online and read some things. And I feel really grateful that Paul exists. And Paul, if you ever get to be listening to this, thank you for sharing so much. I don't know really much about Paul other than he's a singer-songwriter and a coach and someone who leads people in big processes of healing, but I don't know anything more than that. And I feel really grateful to to be in receipt of these writings. And this book, The Magpie Art, is one of those books where you can, it's like little chunks of writing, so you don't have to read the whole book, which I really love. And so you can flick it to any place and there's another little title in bold and then a short piece of writing. So it feels very digestible and manageable. And I really appreciate it. So thank you, Paul, for everything you've written so far. And if you're getting to listen to this, hopefully this is a treat to have something of yours spoken about in the field that is turning towards life, which authors and poets often find is a real blessing. So here we go. This is an excerpt that starts with the words, the first step is not a solution. And Paul's book is The Magpie Art, Gathering the Brightness of Every Day. So here we go. The first step is not a solution, but the willingness to admit this is hard for me. For as long as we deny that our lives can be difficult, we will always act from our conditioning and take the same ineffectual actions. But if we can sit with compassion for ourselves, our innate wisdom can show us how to truly be there for ourselves, and eventually how to let go. Compassion feels a bit like rain at the end of a hot summer day. There's a sense of relief in letting it all come down. Yes, you have to let go of some control. You have to let go of trying to hold up the heavens with your solutions, strategies, and stories of right and wrong. But maybe all that scaffolding needs to fall. Maybe none of it kept you safe in the first place. Maybe all the while there's been a child tugging at your sleeve saying, "Can we go now? I don't want to fight anymore. Just stay with me. All I want is for you to stay with me."
The first step is not a solution, but the willingness to admit this is hard for me. For as long as we deny that our lives can be difficult, we will always act from our conditioning and take the same ineffectual actions. But if we can sit with compassion for ourselves, our innate wisdom can show us how to be truly there for ourselves and eventually how to let go. Compassion feels a bit like rain at the end of a hot summer day. There's a sense of relief in letting it all come down. Yes, you have to let go of some control. You have to let go of trying to hold up the heavens with your solutions, strategies, and stories of right and wrong. Maybe all that scaffolding needs to fall. Maybe none of it kept you safe in the first place. Maybe, all the while, there's been a child tugging at your sleeve saying, "Can we go now? I don't want to fight anymore. Just stay with me. All I want is for you to stay with me."
Thanks, Justin. As always, like, I don't know which thread to pull on. There's so much beauty in here. Feel like what this does is it makes a real connection for me between the strategies that I have that I think keep myself safe. So keep me safe, like having a story or a polarized view or something of something, or a solution that I think I have. And so many times it really is not the first step, and yet it's the first step that I take. And I love this invitation to pause and say, this is really hard, like an acknowledgement step of like what's actually going on, where the response to that is such a different response to coming up with problem solving or something. And it reminds me, Justin, of all the times I've kind of come to someone and said, "Oh my gosh, this thing's happening. I've got no idea what to do." And then they try and help me. And I get really like, "Oh no, that's not what I want. I don't want your help. I don't want you to fix me. I don't want you to advise me. I don't want you to change anything. I just need, I didn't realize this, but I really need you to just listen to me and to acknowledge how hard this is for me. And maybe that next phase will come, but if it comes too quick, I just feel like it's not what I need. And I think that's such an important part of being in relationship with people too, and which I know myself, I probably fail on countless times a day, of my good intention coming in and wanting to make something better for someone. Especially people, like the more I love somebody, probably the more I want to do it. And yet it's a really many times unhelpful way of expressing my love, is to try and fix something or change something or find a solution before the underbelly of it all has been acknowledged and welcomed and appreciated, because there's something coming forth that wants to be seen. And that's very different to providing a solution to something.
I'm thinking a lot as you're talking and in reading Paul's words. Well, this is in fact what he says. How important it is to be able to say to ourselves and one another, this is really hard. And when you come to me, and I think that what you want is the answer, the first thing I could do for you is to say, Lizzie, I can see that this is really hard. And I think for a lot of us, that is an incredibly difficult step, because somewhere we've internalized the idea that at least in principle, we ought to be able to solve whatever it is all by ourselves, and that it would be a bad thing if we were not able to. And so we get into this, this way, I think Paul's got this great way of talking about it, where he says, where we get into trying to hold up the heavens. And what's so difficult about it is that when we're trying to hold up the heavens in any situation without acknowledging how hard it is for ourselves, and then without acknowledging to one another how hard it is when we see one another, we're really doing the opposite of what Paul says, recognizing that there's a child in us tugging at our sleeves saying, I just need you. I need you with me. So many of our strategies to keep the world together in a particular way take us very, very far away from ourselves. And then the worst thing about it is that so often they don't work. Holding up the sky on my own and then feeling terrible about how difficult it is to hold the sky up on my own, and not saying to myself, this is really hard, not saying to you, this is really hard, keeps a kind of aloneness in myself and an aloneness from the world. And I wonder if in a sort of very well-meaning way, obviously everyone's experience is different, but I wonder if in a very well-meaning way we've learnt this from a world which does get that life can be very, very hard, but has resolved that the solution to how difficult things can be is to teach us to be resilient, separate individuals, like it would be, it's the mark of a good person to be able to hold it all together, which comes from a really good place, from a really good place in us. Like I know so many times when I'm holding up at the sky and not telling you about how hard it is, it's also because I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect me, and I'm trying to protect you. And so it comes often from such a good place, but it isolates ourselves from the qualities we could bring that might really be a different way through whatever it is, including, as Paul Winefield here says, maybe it's letting the thing fall apart. That sometimes that's exactly what's called for, the thing we're really resisting. But it also isolates us from one another. And so I really appreciate what you're saying, Lizzie, that sometimes also what we need to do for one another is come in alongside and to recognize that it's really hard and not try to fix it. Although there are times to try to fix things, I also think that's important to know. But maybe they're not where we think they are. Maybe they're not as often as we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
When we're all caught up in the, I'll help you keep the sky up, Lizzie, narrative.
Yeah, I was just thinking, There are definitely times to fix a plug when it's broken or a tap when it's leaking or something. And I think the mistake that's easy to make is to kind of put things in the wrong box, as in, like, some there's a box for things that need to be fixed, and there's a box for things that are a process or an unfolding of some kind that's quite mysterious and has emotions involved and various aspects of humanness. And I think what I can see is that there's a tendency that I have, and maybe others have too, of trying to reduce things into the problem box, because I feel inadequate to try and address the process box. It's like, oh, I'm putting somebody's tricky situation into the simple box and trying to treat it like I'm fixing a plug or something. And actually, what's needed is some other kind of skill set of mine that has to come forth, which doesn't reduce something to be manageable, but actually works with what's here and welcomes it and acknowledges it and has the "this is hard for me" quality about it. And I've been in a kind of a process recently where, oh, how to say this, like, it feels like I've been in touch with the complexity of the thing. Like, I know what box it's in, but the person I've been dealing with has kind of been trying to put it in the simple box. And and what's happened in that is that they've been kind of trying to ask me for a solution when I know that it's not a solution-based situation. And that's been a really powerful understanding thing for me, because what I could feel is that I was kind of being asked for something that I was no way ever going to be able to give, because it's not the order of the thing. So the shoe was kind of on the other foot, if you like. It was like no one was trying to offer me a solution, but they were trying to ask me to have one when the thing wasn't a solutionable thing. And that felt really difficult as well. It's like, well, I know you're asking me for that, but that's not the order of the thing. And therefore, I can't give you what you need, because that's not what this is. And I found that very, very tricky to manage, because I knew I was never going to satisfy the request, even though the request was, really, really clear. And it doesn't matter who's putting the thing in the wrong box. The fact that it is in the wrong box is going to be problematic. Whoever's putting it in the wrong box, kind of thing. So I'm just imagining a world where we can say, well, which box does this one go in? Let's agree which box, because the nature of this thing means it's a process. And therefore, probably what's needed is conversation, trust, faith, acknowledgement, wondering, curiosity, a different kind of spaciousness, probably, a different kind of relationship to the thing than we might have had before. And if we could acknowledge what box something was in, and therefore have the conversation and the process be, either fixing the plug or being in this much more mysterious conversational something, maybe these kind of grapples and misunderstandings probably would still be there, but would be different ones that were more helpful and moved things in a way that was, Paul mentions the word ineffectual. Like, we'll take the same ineffectual actions. I think that's one of the ineffectual actions, is to put something in the wrong box and keep doing that. And then wondering why things are so difficult is because I've been trying to do the plug fixing moves with a big process that's actually a screwdriver's not needed. What's needed is conversation and eye contact and warmth and wondering and curiosity.
It strikes me that you're talking about all the qualities that a skilled coach would bring to someone, which is, I guess, how we end up having this kind of conversation, is because of our shared background there. That, very often the work that's going on with one human coaching another person in a way that is compassionate is to be able to say, to listen to you and to say to you, I can see that you're trying to put the plug in when something else is called for, a different order is called for. Let me not just naively help you push the plug in. But at the same time, I really appreciated what you said, that there are some things that go in that box. Sometimes we're best served by figuring out how to put the plug in. And sometimes we're served by all the things you said, a warm contact and patience and listening and wondering together. And I heard this week a lovely distinction around this, that if you think of our lives a little bit like, you know, when at maths in school, you do a graph with an X and Y axis, you know, and you plot something somewhere, X is 3 and Y is 5, and that tells you where to plot it. That you could think of the X axis, the one that goes horizontally, as the ordinary flow of time that we go through our lives. We've got things ahead of us and things to do and things we care about and things we're planning for and things we want to go a certain way. And when we respond in that one, sometimes we're doing very, very useful things, like figuring out how to put the plug in or use a screwdriver or planning for something in the future. And sometimes we're doing what Paul says, which is trying desperately to keep the heavens up when it's not going to help us. And if you only respond by going in the X direction, to respond in time with things that you do in time, you can only ever respond with the kind of things that require you to do things in time. So it's really helpful to bring in the Y direction. The Y direction doesn't go in time. It doesn't go in the ordinary order of our lives. It goes up or down either. It goes into the depth of things, or it goes into the height of things. But it's not, but responding in that direction to our lives, it doesn't advance us into the next thing in the same way that going in the X direction does. I really loved this this description, because it's a reminder, and which is what Paul is here is saying when he says, you know, we always act from our conditioning, which is the X direction, take the same actions. But if we're prepared to sit and let our innate wisdom show us how to be truly there, that doesn't exist in time in the ordinary, what's the next step, what's the next step, what's the next step way. And so many things in our lives could benefit from that kind of sorting that you're saying. Is it an X direction thing or a Y direction thing? Is it a problem solving box, or is it a meeting one another box? And as I'm speaking, I'm feeling an enormous amount of tenderness towards everything it is in all of us that has convinced us that the only thing for us to do is to keep pushing harder forward into the excellent. We've been taught this and we've learned it, because it sometimes works. Like you were saying, it sometimes works. But maybe when we're in a hurry, and maybe when we're afraid, and maybe I really feel this particularly in what Paul is saying here, maybe also particularly when we're sort of feeling ashamed, like this ought not to be hard. So I ought to pretend that I'm fine and everything's fine and I'm completely competent, like we've all been taught so many times to be. Maybe that's exactly, I feel very tender towards the parts of us that are very convinced that that's the only way to do something. And as often in these conversations, it's something that you often point us into, is it raises the question for me, not only how can I be this for myself? You know, how can I be the one that spots when I'm trying to push forward, when pushing forward's not called for, or hold up the sky when holding up the sky is not called for? But how do we learn ever more to spot in one another how do I learn ever better to see when I'm with you that your way of doing something at the moment is to push forward when that's not called for, and then to notice all the pushing forward parts in me and let them soften, so that we do this in relationship, so I can be the one who goes to you, Lizzie, let me not just join in with the chorus of let me help you go faster and harder, but maybe I can be the one who joins in with, and let me sit with you for a while.
Reminding me, Justin, of all the ways that I want to push along the X-axis, and then I have some kind of Y conversation with someone who's a chosen person to have that kind of conversation with. And then I might start going along the x-axis again, but I'm going in the minus area of the y-axis rather than where I was going in before. So it's, I feel so welcoming of the, are we calling it like the problem solving box, the electrical wires needing reconnecting or whatever. But the way I do that is different depending on the conversations I've had along the way. So it's like a dance between the two worlds. And maybe some things don't require any x-axis action at all, any kind of time-based thing. But many things do. But the way I've processed or understood life or understood myself more or found this beautiful rain at the end of a hot summer day of compassion for myself, my narrative can change about what's going on. And when my narratives, the story I'm telling about what's happening shifts into some other story, the action I take will be different. So I'm just appreciating what it takes to do that. And, you know, Paul mentions letting go of control and solutions and strategies and stories of right and wrong. And it takes this kind of mutuality, I think, that Third Space is a huge big stand for, and we're a stand for here too, of being in the kind of relationships where I can not be expected to hold up my right and my wrong, my black and my white, but instead invited into something way more subtle and mysterious that allows me to process and understand differently and change the story I have about you or about the situation or about me. Maybe not even change the story, but know that it's a story. Even that is a thing. You know, whatever the story I'm telling about you is, maybe it's not exactly as I know it. And in the unlearning of things, how could I not come at something differently? How could I not shift my set of actions that I take to be something different than I did before? So I'm really appreciating all those relationships that stand for that, and that what we can do to cultivate those and how crucial they are for human functionality and flourishing and depth and connection. And I'm so glad that Paul writes like this, as this great kind of stream of connections of how we can, I don't know what the word is, accept that there's a recalibration needed often from our normal bigger cultural messages that we've received of what's to be done when we hit something hard or where we hit something we don't know what to do about. We don't have to keep pedaling hard and trying to make it okay. There is this thing called connection in other humans where, and also ourselves, like we're far greater a situation than we understand. And so we can support ourselves and we can have compassion for ourselves rather than all these demands on ourselves that we should be nailing this and we should be sorting it all out and making everything okay. There's so much more going on than that. So I'm looking at the time, Justin, and knowing that we're at the kind of half an hour mark about, and I want to say thank you to Paul for writing this, to you, Justin, for being here and being one of these people who allows the y-axis to happen as well as the x-axis and making sure that they're both held and acknowledged. And you can find out more about Paul, everybody, at paulwinefieldcoaching.com if you would like to. And the book, the magpie art, Gathering the Brightness of Every Day, is really beautiful, so I'd really recommend it. And we will be back either with a recording of ourselves next week, Justin, or we'll still be here, and or I will have had a baby and be fine, which I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. I mean, I'm going to be fine, but like I might not be talkable. I don't know what the word is. I might not be capable of having a conversation. Who knows? But thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Justin. And we'll be here by hook or by crook next week again at the same time, same place.
We will.